Hi, welcome to the Kentish Lifelong Learning and Care Educators Matter session. Today I'm speaking to Stuart Davidson with a really interesting topic, questions to ask children about their worldview. Welcome, Stuart.
Hi. I think it's important to understand that you use these questions not in a big lump, but
drip. So it's not an interrogation.
Drip feed them into the children once they've been in the placement for a few days and showing that they're a bit secure. You can just casually ask the questions and see if you get an answer. Now, you may not get an answer the first time because the kid probably never been given
thought about it, yes.
But you can come back to it again, and so I'll use my words, but obviously the educator will change the wording to fit with the age of the kid.
Okay? Yeah, okay, so what's the first one?
So the first one is, it's important for me as an educator to understand what you're experiencing. Can you tell me in your words what you think is causing your problem?
That's good. So yeah, in your words, so they're not trying to, so that might end up being a very short answer, or it might be, you know, as they gain more confidence and more trust in the educator, that might really expand and they'll reveal a lot of stuff to them.
But the question will get them thinking about them having a view.
Yes, yes.
Can you tell me, are there any mental or medical problems? I usually miss out the mental health, in your family, indicating problems like yours. For instance, I said this to a little boy of 7 the other day, and he said, yeah, my big brother's the same, and he was having problems at school. So the kids actually know, but if they can identify the problem,
they may not know what it is, but they know that someone else has got it in their family. Yeah, that's an interesting question. Yes.
Okay. Another question is, what's the most important thing I need to know about you to best understand you?
Oh, that's a good one. What's the most important thing I need to know about you to best understand you? That's very good, isn't it? Yeah.
And another one is, has anything worked for you in the past to reduce this difficulty or problem you've got?
Yeah, has anything worked for you in the past? So that's a good one too with schooling, because some of them... you know, have had not necessarily negative, that's too strong a word, but, you know, schooling has been a bit hit and miss.
And sometimes they'll tell you that something's worked in the past. Schooling's a good one, you know, when I'm angry I go outside or whatever. So then your next follow-up is, why did you stop doing this?
Yes, if that was working for you, why did you stop? Yes. And then that probably opens up another whole story. Well, I changed schools, or I went to another place, or I dropped out or something. Yes.
Another one I use is, tell me what you eat regularly. We're really talking about nutrition now.
Yeah, tell me what you eat.
Tell me what you do for exercise.
Yes, yes.
So you get a sense that what the kid's eating. If they might have been in the past only eating Hungry Jacks and
fast food,
and if they tell you they haven't done any exercise, then you know that that's something that you've got to think about.
Yes,
because even if it's exercise and health.
Yes, even if it's walk the dog or.
Yeah.
Yes.
Another one is, do you have problems sleeping? I asked a 7-year-old that last week, and they said, "Yeah." So I just lie there until I fall asleep.
Oh, isn't that gorgeous?
And I said, "How long is that?" He says, "Oh, hours."
Really.
So.
So what would that be an indicator if they do
anxiety.
Say yes, I do, anxiety, yeah.
Anxiety.
Okay.
And if educators look in their trauma handbook or the USB, there's a whole lot of stuff on anxiety.
Right.
And later on we might do something
on some
that.
Yeah, strategy on that, yeah.
Okay. Are you using any medicine at the moment? Do you take Ritalin or do you take... special drinks or anything like that?
Right, so the child, would they, depending on the age, I guess, would they know what they're taking, or...?
Well, they'll say, a lot of them can tell you they take Ritalin or they take a yucky medicine that my last educator gave me and so on. And you really want to know what their views on the medication are.
Yes.
They're trying to find out if it's working for them.
Yes.
The schools might say it's working, but the kid might not believe it.
Yes, yes. Or it might have an adverse effect, give them bad side effects or something.
Another one I sometimes say is, when you're worried, what do you do?
That's a good one. When you're worried, what do you do? Yes.
You're really trying to find out the kid's level of stress response to stress.
And what's interesting, Stuart, the educators may actually ask themselves these questions, you know, because they're big picture questions. They really are, yeah.
Tell me about your most important relationship. Now, this is interesting because the kid may have been in several placements and tell you an educator from two or three placements ago.
Yes.
Or they might tell you their big brother or their sister or something. They may talk about their mum or their dad.
Yes.
But quite often they don't.
So who's your,
most important relationship?
Yes, that's important.
Is the way you think at the moment giving you any problems at school, at home, or anywhere?
The way you think. So that's getting them really to talk about what does that mean?
Because
yes, and what how their thoughts may be creating a whole catastrophe out of something that isn't.
Have you told anybody else before me about this?
Yes, because that's what I think when children really open up, that they do. That's one of the things I've noticed that they will bring into the conversation, because there's a level of trust, they'll bring into the conversation something that has happened in their life. I wish I had that question up my sleeve. Have you told anyone else about this? Because often they have, but they're just a little bit, but that's a real sign of trust, isn't it, when they open up with something that's happened
in their life. With older kids, sometimes I ask, have you got any cultural, religious or spiritual issues or problems that might be important for me to know?
Yes, so
only with the older kids, because the little kids won't pick this up. But the bigger kids might say, "Well, you know, I'm thinking about being gay, or you know, whatever." And so you then get a handle on something that's worrying the kids.
Yes,
help them get some more information on.
Yeah.
Or another one is you talk about feeling good and feeling bad, and you say, "What positive changes do you want for yourself?"
Yes, getting them to identify those positive changes. Yes, that's
often
important.
Often what positive itself they don't understand. So
explaining,
you have to explain that.
And then if you get that, it's almost like a goal-setting thing, isn't it? That they go, oh, well, I want to, you know, have a car and, you know, in time. This is not one of the older children.
So what will that do for you?
Yeah. So
in what way will it,
you know, do it? So that the link between what they want, which might be to drive a car, or it could be a job or a holiday, that ties in with then, well, we've got to have a plan about you going to school, because you're not going to get that if you haven't got it. So it's sort of, you know, giving them strategies themselves that they can sort of tick off as they go with some milestones. That's important.
If a kid's having issues at school, I often say, what are you getting out of it? What's good about what you do for you?
Yes.
And so I don't have to do sums or whatever because I'm not good at that or whatever, you know. But you're trying to find out, there's a reason for every behaviour.
Sure.
And you're trying to find out what's the positive for the kid for that negative behaviour.
Yes. And so I guess if they couldn't see that, if they were stuck into the, you know, I'm getting bullied and, you know, this kid's hitting me and whatever, then, you know, get the educator would be able to tease that out a bit and maybe suggest some of the things that...
And have a base to go to advocate on the kid's behalf.
Yes.
Because often that's all it needs. The kid can't understand the math or the reading or whatever, it doesn't want to be picked on. So when he or she recognises that it's about time for them to get picked on in terms of talking in the class, and that, they cause a disruption to avoid it.
Yes.
Another one is if you've talked to the kid and they're a bit unhappy about what's on, you say, is there any time or context that you want to change in? Is there any place you want to change? Do you want to be a better student or a better sportsman or get on the kids better? So you're trying to find the context
of
change for them.
Yes.
And then you can obviously work on
how that's going to happen. Action. Yes. And get them to look to the future rather than just... Yep.
And you ask them how long they want this change.
Yeah.
Do they want it forever or do they just want it temporarily
to achieve it. Yeah, to achieve it, a short-term goal.
And you also
goal.
Ask them what qualities do you think they'll need.
Will they know what qualities mean? Skills and
use words?
Yeah, language. Yeah.
So the things that you might say is, what do you think you might need to be the best soccer player in your class? Or what do you think you might need to get picked for the AFL team?
Yeah.
Throwing skills, catching skills,
yes.
Jumping skills. What can we do to help that happen?
Mm. And even getting them to talk about those role models, because their sporting identities are often those role models in the rugby league and AFL and there are some very good ones. There's a few not so good, but...
My follow-up question to that one is, what's stopping you making this change already? Why have you not done the things that you've talked about? Because you want to find out where their inhibitions are. And they might say, I'm too scared, or nobody's shown me, or whatever.
Mm.
But generally, there's something stopping somebody doing things.
And would it be sometimes that there's just they've never been encouraged to do it?
All that.
To think bigger picture, you know.
But it's also might be a belief that they can't do it.
Can't do it, yeah.
And then you say to them, is there anything you'll lose if you become good at soccer? Is there anything important to you that you'll lose?
Mm.
Oh, I won't be a victim anymore, you know, that kind of attitude. Or do you want to keep that or do you want to lose that?
So yes.
They get them to look at themselves.
Yeah, yeah. And this, that's really important, isn't it, for the older ones too, you know, that they get that, you know, there's life beyond, we're working towards this.
That's why you say, what will you gain by making a change now?
Yeah.
So they start seeing, if I do some training, if I go on a diet, if I, you know, do more exercise, what will gain?
I'll get fitter, I'll you know, be selected in the team.
Girls get selected, all that. And then my last question is, how are you going to get there? How are you going to encourage yourself when things are tough?
Mm.
What's your plan?
Yes. Because I'd imagine for many of these children, their resilience is actually high. You know, they've survived a lot of difficult situations. So they have stamina that just needs to be used.
They often don't know how to make a plan.
A plan. So that would be them with the educator actually creating a plan or 10 steps.
Over
a
couple of weeks, if you ask these questions with a kid, you'll eventually...
Get more insight into them. Yeah.
Talking about the concept of a teachable moment.
Yes.
There are times when a kid is in the place where they'll listen.
Yes.
And tell you what's going on.
And this is really...
The trick for you is to pick it.
Yeah, and this ties in with the educator's reflection, you know, the programming and stuff that the documentation that they've got to complete every couple of weeks. Well, all this is... Because they're learning more about the children in their care. So, yeah, that's really effective. Yeah.
So that's a lot.
Yeah. So, interestingly, as I said at the start, the educators could actually ask that of themselves, ask 99% of those questions of themselves.
And do a bit of their own
self-reflection.
Still a bit self-conscious, they should ask the questions looking into a mirror. Because as they look into the mirror, they'll see themselves avoiding the question.
Oh, right.
Or thinking about the question or being surprised by the question.
Interesting.
So they'll then learn a little bit about themselves.
Yeah, that's a good strategy. Yeah, okay. Fantastic, Stuart. Another great session. Thank you very much.